Any other questions from the commission?
I didn't understand what you said. Did you say that you didn't want any, the triggers closed or open? I didn't understand what you said.
I don't accept triggers because they cannot discriminate against Virginia State Code, you know, in your code book. You know, if you like to read it, it's, you can't discriminate against any fishery, any user group. Well, if the crab potters get to go crabbing, peeler potters get to go peelering, then the crab dredgers need to go crabbing.
Okay. So you're against triggers?
Triggers, period.
Okay. All right.
I've never been a fan against triggers for one user group to be discriminated
against. I understand what you're saying now, right? I agree with you.
Any other questions from the commission?
Ready for the remainder of this?
Is there anything else? Chief, you going to wrap this up?
It's going to be wrapped up in just a few minutes. So this item requires each year that the commission make a decision on the crab dredge fishery season. And that was by way of a court ruling where, if you look at this code section, any really means each. That's as simple as it can be put, that each season has to be determined. So each season, staff brings you a proposal. I know that some of you aren't aware of some of the past, but what Mr. Dean is indicating, there were times back in the 1960s and 70s and even into the 80s where the crab dredge fishery was as much as 30% of the total harvest. Of course, there were also times in the 60s where the average harvest, and it wasn't mandatory reporting, it was voluntary reporting, was about 50 million pounds just for Virginia. We don't even have a bay-wide harvest like that the last several years. You should know there should be caution about anything that's done. And it really has been since 2000, the late 1990s, where things have changed. No one's really investigated exactly what has caused this change. Is it a regime shift? Is it a carrying capacity situation has changed? We don't know. But really, the amount of crabs that are harvested, even if you think the effort is half of what it was back in the 60s through the 80s, it still doesn't add up. So there's definitely a situation from year to year that we're looking at the abundance. Staff wanted to present just some information because the commission has not had this information as a whole of the events leading up to situations like why a trigger's in place. So I'm going to breeze through this pretty much, but in 2008, right before the crab dredge fishery season was closed the first time, this is a public resource. There was a lot of public comment, 302 in support of closing the crab dredge fishery at that time. The year since 2008, the amount of public response has been variable, nothing as substantial as in 2008, until you get to 2013, which coincides with the time when staff and Dr. Lipschitz of VIMS recommended an opening, which I'll go over just very briefly what that involved, of the crab dredge fishery season. But the commission, you can just see how many folks responded from the public. The commission had a survey that was sent out. Granted, responses were about 30%, but of those responses that came in, there were quite a few responses that just indicated perhaps on the dredge fishery that it should be a closure of the season. 54% supported, 16%, this is industry, not the public, licensees, and 30% had no response. So does 30% mean something? It depends on how you look at that at that time. Now, everyone must have known what was going on because staff was gearing up to support an opening, and Dr. Lipschitz and his staff had completed a study. VMRC helped. These are the comments from August 27, 2013 of the commission members. And I'm not going to go through the whole list, but you can look through them. But it was unusual, I thought at least, that at the time they were concerned that maybe 37 folks, licensees, former licensees, participating wasn't enough. So there was considerations on all the items of the commission. And we actually ended up with proposing 49 because industry convinced everyone that there had been 53 crab dredgers who were part of the 2006 and 7 season. It wraps around from December through March, and 2007 through 2008. So when this all started, and this still goes on today, I just heard this the other night, there's all this undetermined idea of what waste means. But waste became a big part of the commission's lexicon at that time, because once the first closure of the season happened, a lot of folks were saying there's a lot of waste, and even former crab dredge captains. And we were told by crab dredge captains, yeah, if you're not careful, there's a lot of waste. If you tow that dredge at 5 knots, you're going to go through some crabs, and it's not going to treat them very well. But about back in the late 80s, early 90s, staff counted the waste from a sample. From at that time, you could have 25 barrels of crabs a day. Staff sampled 4% of each day's catch for 32 trips out on crab dredge boats. And what we found is here, some were fairly high waste, but consider there were 300 boats. We used to go up in the air and count the boats, and you might find close to 300 near Thimble Shoals Channel alone. So yeah, when you have 40 boats or 50 boats plowing through York Spit, that's going to make some waste. And that's really all the information we had until Dr. Lipschitz's study. So Dr. Lipschitz, when he did his study, I won't do this in sequence, the entire main stem of the bay and the seaside of Virginia were former crab dredge areas. And what came out of Dr. Lipschitz's study was that there was an area which would be considered sand in red, which was not very nice to crabs if you pulled a dredge over it. And there was areas of mud which turned out to be pretty good in terms of discard mortality, less than 5% for on the bottom and on the boat. This is what propelled staff forward with its recommendation, both from VIMS and from VMRC. This is the reduced area that was recommended to the commission in 2013. It does have some sand area, but in essence, you see a lot of the mud in green and somewhat sandy mud in yellow, much different than some of the other areas, especially in the southern area. So CMAQ asked the other night to have a tabling of this issue until there could be further discussion. Staff is not recommending that. Staff does have to pay attention to the triggers. Everything that led up to reopening this fishery culminated with staff being told, you'll have triggers. And those triggers went through scientific review, the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee, which is around the bay. It went through the goal implementation team, and Mr. Grist just presented that to you. So we can't get away with that as far as saying that we have to ignore triggers. But we understand why someone might. But we recall back in 2013, August 27, that when staff and VIMS supported the opening, the leading industry members who were most vocal about having a crab dredge fishery season reinstated were split in their recommendations. And those who said not now because the abundance was low, staff doesn't think that's changed too much. Again, we have just under 101 million spawning crabs. The juveniles are about 11th highest out of 26 years, but they're going to run the gauntlet, as was mentioned earlier, of all the fisheries, and they're also going to have to be the spawners for 2016. So those things together are the reason staff is not recommending an opening, nor is staff recommending a tabling of this issue. We don't think that will buy time, and the reason is We had a quota that was agreed to by CMAQ, 1.5 million pounds. One of the industry members said, we'll do 1 million pounds, which if you consider the crab dredge fishery in the past was 10 million, 12 million, 9 million, and just kept fading. 1 million seemed reasonable. What staff did was it had, through CMAQ, bushel limits that would count for the crab dredge 1 million pounds or 1.5 million pounds. At that time, there was a proposal to extend the season for crab pots to December 15th and or both have a crab dredge season. And so bushel limits were set to allow for that. It wasn't enough for the commission even before the triggers were set. The commission mainly said abundance is too low. The answer is no. So with that, staff waited for the triggers, and we suspected that if the triggers were where they should be, I think Mr. Grish showed 129 million spawning age females and 264 juveniles. If they were there, we would be here today saying, please consider an opening, limited opening of the crab dredge fishery season. That didn't happen. The reason that we don't see the tabling is that we already had support in the past in 2013-14 from CMAQ, although it was split a little bit, and industry was split as well. We can't see the tabling because we have a vehicle all ready to go. And I'm not going to go through all this, but it's a limited entry provisions. It relied on those 49. It relied on what they did in their most recent crab dredge seasons, which is now moving towards eight seasons ago. But nonetheless, that's how you do limited entry based on historic participation. So we had that. We had all sorts of licensee requirements. This was a very controlled situation that staff was proposing back not quite 2 years ago, a year and 8 months ago, including observer coverage, what species could be kept as bycatch. We had the harvest area, which you saw, narrowed down, which is a point of contention to some in industry. They think there are some areas that even if there's sand, they could still dredge, but this is what was agreed on before. And there it is again. So it's a shadow of its former self where the whole main stem and the seaside could be crab dredge areas. The triggers, this is a question that went forward in 2013-14. If there isn't a season, what happens next? And the answer was triggers. So in accordance with 28.2707 of the Code of Virginia, the crab dredge season of December 1, 2014, 2015 now on underlined through March 35, 2015, 2016 now is closed, and it should be unlawful to use a dredge for catching crabs from the waters of the Commonwealth during that season. So again, this is a every year basis, and I think everyone after receiving certain amounts of information today would welcome an abundant shift, but you have to remember that when there was a disaster declared in 2008 based on 2004-2007, during the time period of the 2000s up to 2007, even before 2000, 8 out of 11 years were overfishing. So it hasn't been a good picture for blue crab in the 2000s. It started in the late 90s, really. We had one nice spike in 1993. After that, it went down a little bit, and then it stayed down. So I have all the staff recommendations, but you have questions on the crab dredge season. I can answer those questions.
Your questions from the commission. Mr. Neal.
That meeting, I guess it was 2 years ago, we were about this time 2 years ago, we were discussing August. This. And...
Oh, I keep saying all.
It was a long, long meeting. And we decided to keep the dredge fishery closed, and we did direct staff to develop triggers to give us guidelines when it would be safe to reopen this fishery. I believe, was that a, I think that was a unanimous vote. Do we have that?
It was.
Okay, that's what I thought. And And then I guess this is a legal issue, and this is Jimmy. I'm addressing Jimmy. Hasn't this already been, this closing of the dredge fishery already been challenged in court? I mean, that's why we're doing this every year.
In 2009.
And so it's already been in the judicial system saying that this dredge fishery closure is legal.
The problem I have with that is, Ken, is when you have a pot fishery you can't control, and what triggers that you can't achieve, then this is just another way of keeping the dredge fishery closed forever because, you know, I've sat down in meetings for 4 years working to try to develop different things. Had opened up, we've already established you can't control pots. You can't control these fisheries whatsoever. The only fishery you could have controlled was the dredge fishery.
I guess my question was the legality of this. And
well,
you
the
question
legality,
legality
of this
and I assume
if,
it's already been it's already been determined in court.
If there's quotas, it also says right here, if we have bushel limits, that's a quota per day. You're allowed a quota per day. And it also states right here, if it becomes necessary to allocate and assign fishing privileges among various user groups, such allocation shall be fair and equitable to all fishermen.
I guess my question is, so it's already, this has already been through the courts.
Well, then the courts overlooked the state code.
Well, at the risk of debating anything, since I know why those measures are there, and that the Fisheries Management Division started in 1984 and needed to have a template, that is the template. But if you look back at where that template arose, user groups was not defined narrowly. And again, it's open for debate, but if you go back into the mid-70s, user groups was not defined that narrowly. That doesn't take away from anyone contending that 282203 is talking about scrapes, traps, pots, peeler pots, dredge, anything else. But
my question was really the legality of us closing the dredge fishery, which I assumed was legal.
Commissioner, I have the recommendations. I can read them into the record if you would prefer.
Yes, if you would, please.
Okay. Recommendation one is to continue the seasonal management approach starting the next crab management season on July 5, 2015 and ending July 4, 2016 and opening the commercial crab pot season March 17 and closing that same season November 30. And that you'll find in draft 4VAC 227010 and sequence pertaining to crabbing. Item two, continue the current bushel limit management measures and dates for the upcoming season as provided in the same regulation, 4VAC 227010. Three, adjust the closure dates for the non-crab pot gear season, closing on September 26th instead of September 16th, like this previous season, and reopening instead of May 1, as was the case in 2015, open those on April 21st in 2016, as also provided in 4VAC 227010. Four, amend that same regulation, 4VAC 227010, to make it unlawful for any vessel to act as, for any person aboard any vessel to act as both a crab harvester and a crab buyer on the same trip. Five, amend Chapter 4VAC 237010 and sequence pertaining to the culling of crabs to make it unlawful for any person to possess dark sponge crabs from March 17 through June 15. So June 16, it would be lawful. Six, amend Chapter 4VAC 275210 and sequence pertaining to blue crab sanctuary to redefine the Virginia Blue Crab Sanctuary Area 1 as Virginia Blue Crab Sanctuary Area 1A, where there would be a closing date of June 1, and also to amend to have Blue Crab Sanctuary Area 1B with a closing date the same as it is May 16th in that area in between 1A and the Code of Virginia Sanctuary, and also implement separate closure dates so that areas 2 through 4 would all close on May the 9th. and that is the Code of Virginia sanctuary out onto the coastal area. Finally, number seven, amend Chapter 4 VAC 2011-40 in sequence, prohibition of crab dredging in Virginia waters to close the winter crab dredge fishery season from December 1, 2015 through March 31, 2016. And that's all of them.
Any questions from the commission? If not, I'll open the public hearing. Is there anybody who wishes to testify here on these regulation changes that are before us here? Sir, why don't you come first? Please state your name for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Lee Walton. My VMR CID number is 3341.
So I believe the commission has a letter from you here.
I'm not sure if they do. I can make a copy if they need it.
Yep.
I think that was just a contact.
Yes.
Understand. Thank you very much.
And forgive me. My comments were geared towards a May 1st start. This is item number three, the all other gear dates. So if I refer to May 1st, understand that with the pelopod industry, April 21st, it's still going to be the same principles that apply in my view. Commissioner Bull and fellow commissioners, I'm here today on behalf of several full season soft shell producers to ask that you let expire or repeal the part of Regulation 4 VAC 20-270-40, Section A, which set the May 1st, 2015, or as proposed, the April 21st start date for all of the lawful commercial gear used to harvest blue crabs and not to continue it for the future. The May 1 or April 21st start day was part of an emergency regulation enacted in March of 2015 and was mainly directed at the peeler softshell harvest segment of the blue crab fishery to assist with increasing the juvenile crab population. However, the blue crab population, according to the 2015 winter dredge survey, had already made a modest gain before the May 1st start of this year, therefore having no real impact on the population figures. According to your staff, the peeler harvest is approximately 1% of the total harvest of blue crabs in the Virginia portion of the Chesapeake Bay. That is considerably less than the recreational harvest that is considered to be 8% bay-wide by the Chesapeake Bay Stock Assessment Committee and a mere fragment of the hard crab pot harvest. Yet this delayed start has the potential to be economically devastating to the commercial soft crab industry. The first run of peelers and soft shells in the spring represents approximately 50% or more of the entire season's income for many full-time peeler crabbers and soft crab producers. The beginning of the season is a time when market demand is extremely high and supply is low, bringing top dollar for Virginia soft shells. With a May 1st start date, the impact on a segment of the fishery that represents such a minute fraction of the entire harvest could be crippling. With scientists continuously producing evidence of global warming and sea temperature rise, the May 1st start date could create a situation where the entire first run of soft crabs could be missed. And this next statement will apply for the April 21st proposal. In 2012, the same year the puppy drum inundated the bay and decimated the juvenile crab population, the entire first run was over May 1st. I shipped my first soft crabs March 28th. So with global warming as an issue, that this becomes a concern when we set a beginning date. I traditionally set pots in the shallow rivers of the Mobjack Bay April 10th, traditionally. So even with an April 21st, I would miss a good first week, week and a half, if water temperatures stay the same. This year, even with one of the coldest winters in recent history, The May 1st start date caused the loss of at least 1 week of harvesting for many in a run that only lasted about 3 weeks. The delayed start this year caused many restaurants to not be able to obtain the supply of soft shells needed for Mother's Day, one of the biggest days of the year in that industry. I know because I was a restaurant inspector for the Virginia Department of Health for 6 years, so I know that Mother's Day is a big day for them. I believe there's a misconception that commercial fishermen have no interest in resource conservation, but just the opposite is true. No other stakeholder has more to benefit or lose from the success of a fishery. However, I feel the information available proves that the conservation benefits gained of a delayed start a month after the largest segment of the harvesting gear is allowed to begin is near nothing when compared to the potentially catastrophic impact that the delayed start could have on the targeted segment of the fishery, which is the peeler softshell harvest. At a time when total blue crab harvest has remained under the target removal rate for 7 consecutive years, good management practices should easily call for repealing the delayed start for all other commercial gear to harvest blue crabs. I would like to thank you for your time and effort and consideration. Please discontinue the delayed start time. There is no real benefit from it. I will be more than happy to answer any questions or assist you in any way that I can. And again, thank you for your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions, Mr. Walton? Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I have been a commercial fisherman for 36 years, so that needs to be recorded.
Good afternoon. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Mickey Haley. And I can't follow what Mr. Walton said. He had a whole lot more facts than I have, but his consensus and mine are go along the same lines. Again, my name is Mickey Haley. I live in Gloucester and work on the water off of Mobjack Bay. My father is 81 years old, and we've been fishing peeler pounds together for over 40 years. We're good stewards of the water and have been since we started. We're not in constant violation of the law and never have been. I was among one of the first, if not the first, to start an on-land shedding system that was self-supporting. I was fortunate to be able to work closely with Mike Osterling, who represented VIMS, and we tried several experiments through the time to try to develop the best type of system for a closed system shedding tank and suggested standard that is used for today. My reason for being here is to speak on a proposal of changing of this year's regulations. That was imposed last July of a season for peelers to end September 15, 2014 and not start back until May 1, 2015. This change in season as regulation was not equitable for all peeler trappers. The water in which I buy my license for fixed fishing devices or crab pounds, peeler traps, happens to be by nature one of the earliest waters to catch peelers in Virginia. First run comes when the water temperatures in the river reach an inviting and appealing temperature for crabs, not an arbitrary date. The first run accounts for approximately 70 to 75% of my total season, and other trappers in the area are also affected, as well as some of the crabbers in some of the creeks around Nassauwattocks on the eastern shore of Virginia. It has to do with water temperature and a few other factors. I realize I've been speaking mostly about me and what I think, but I know my statements can be proven by fact. We as peeler pounders cannot move location on a whim, and sometimes it takes several tides and several days to make the proper sets. I hold 14 fixed device licenses, and it takes me a couple of weeks to get my gear in the water on any given year. Again, I just can't put them anywhere I want. There's a step process that I have to follow. I have to have the landowner's permission or the oyster ground holder's permission first, then I have to get permission from VMRC. Going back to the point of being equitable, it doesn't affect all of the waters in the same way. It is putting the burden on a few bodies of water, as I described. With that said, the effects in the area where I am working, it affects me in a big way, and not affecting all of the waters further up the bay. Their season starts later than mine. My understanding of a change in law states If it doesn't affect everyone in any given group equally, it is not equitable, and the law doesn't allow for that. I would like to urge you to consider leaving the law as it was for the 2013-14 season. This regulation that was imposed in July 2014 created some issues that came to light after the fact that probably were unintended. With a different catch season for the long coastline of Virginia, it makes it hard to set laws that are equitable throughout Virginia. This is a classic case of one size doesn't fit all. I feel the watermen take a lot of blame for the problems of the crab population that are unfounded and undeserved. People fail to realize how big a part Mother Nature plays in this equation. After working on the water for 40-plus years, you see that there are good years and lean years, and this isn't a fault that can be controlled. It is Mother Nature letting us know who is really in charge. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Mr. Haley. Is there any questions from the commission? Thank you, sir. Appreciate your input. Is there someone else who would like to address the commission? Please state your name for the record.
Desmond Owens. My name is Desmond Owens. I've been crabbing on the rivers off Mobjack Bay for over 30 years. I totally agree with the comments that Mr. Haley just presented. At the same time, I also understand the need for regulations passed to protect the fisheries that we all use to make our livelihood from. My concern is that the regulations passed on the Pila fishery last year were not evenly distributed among all users and placed more of a burden on some more than others. Watermen on the smaller, more southern rivers where the water warms up earlier each year lost a large portion of their Pila catch season this year due to the season being moved back to May 1st. Section 28.2-203, Article 4 of the Code of Virginia reads, conservation and management measures shall not discriminate among user groups. If it becomes necessary to allocate or assign fishing privileges among various user groups, such allocation shall be one, fair and equitable to all fishermen, reasonably calculated to promote conservation, and carried out in such a manner that no one person acquires an excessive share of such privileges. I respectfully ask that the Commission take another look at the Pila fishery laws passed last year to make sure that no one person or geographical region of Virginia take on an excessive share of necessary conservation measures. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Owens.
I have a question.
Mr. Ziedman.
What you guys are saying is that you would rather see as the crabs move and they come up in these different areas, different dates. As you know, we're kind of assigning one date for everybody. Or is that what you're saying?
What we're saying is by adding a May 1st start date, we've lost in some years a month and a half of our season.
What date are you?
We can't catch that back up.
What date are you asking for?
Well, if we moved it back to April 1st. Or we've caught crabs as early as March 15th. It just depends on water temperature. So it just depends on water temperature. And,
May I respond? Yeah. No, sir. You had a chance. I'll double back later.
I thought
we'll double back later after we've gone through. Everyone who wants a chance to talk, right there, Mr. Zedrin.
So, are you asking us to establish a regulation that somehow is tied into the water temperature, or what are you asking?
What we're saying is, we feel like, or let me speak for myself. I feel like that moving the Pila fishery back to May 1st was an excessive burden on us that use it, have been using it in the past, and been using it earlier in the year.
So you're asking for a specific date, but be earlier in the year.
The crab potters have a date to start earlier than we do, and they're part of the same fishery we are.
And here again, what date is that you're talking about?
I'm sorry?
What date are you talking about? I'm talking about April 1st, or what day are you talking about?
Well, in years past, we started April 1st. We started March 17th. What I'm saying is, if we got a start date for the crab pot fishery of March 17th, or whatever you set it at, it should be the same for everybody, because we're all part of the same fishery. And the Code of Virginia states that we can't discriminate against one part.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Owens. Mr. Smith.
My name is Ben Smith. I'm president of the Virginia Boilermen's Association.
Good to see you again, Mr. Smith.
Yeah, good to see you. Oh, I'm up here to, is it Dr. Neal or Mr. Neal?
I'm Dr. Neal.
That's what I thought. Kind of wanted to address your question about the lawsuit. The lawsuit, at this time, there has been no lawsuit about discrimination or any of that. The lawsuit came about somewhere in 2008 after the fishery was closed, and when it was closed, it was completely closed. And it went to court challenging the fact that the code said that it was supposed to be addressed every year. And that's what happened, and that's what was won on, that it had to come back and be addressed every year. And if you go back and you read the judge's opinion, BMRC got spanked pretty heavily by the judge for not following the code. And BMRC also had to pay the lawyer's fees for that. So just to do that. Now we're hearing all this stuff about discrimination, and I think we'll go back and don't want to put words in your mouth, Jimmy Dean, but I think what you're saying is, if they've got to be triggers for dredgers, there should be triggers for crabbers and peeler potters and everybody else as well. And I think that's kind of where that is right now. But the other people that are going to speak can give you a whole lot better program than I will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Any questions from the commission? Mr. Mullis, I believe you're next.
Thank you, Commission. Commissioner Bull. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Bill Mullis with BNC Seafood in Newport News, Virginia. I live in Gloucester County, as well on Mobjack Bay on Wilson Creek. I went to CMAC last Monday night, and I asked CMAC to recommend the commission to delay vote on closure to crab drudge season until CMAC can have a meeting dedicated basically to the crab drudge issue and the fishery alone with VIMS and the group and the staff here. And, you know, I just want to point out to Mr. Walton and Mr. Haley and Mr. Owens, I also live on Mobjack Bay on Wilson Creek. I haven't caught a single crab since 2008. None. Zero. Our whole season was shut down. So if you want to talk about the discrimination, I also know the code section that it's in, and I'd be glad for somebody like counsel to write an opinion on that. But I'm not so sure that we're not going to have to go test that somewhere, Mr. Neal, to find out exactly what the interpretation is of what's happened to this fishery. I'm going to go through some points here. The fishery was accused of a high harvest mortality based on a buyer complaint 30 years ago. There were studies on mortality that had been done, and a new study that has been done several years ago now by Ron Lipkus and his team showing a low harvest mortality in the softer bottom. So I'm not going to get into the issue of that chart I saw a little while ago saying what's sandy and what's mud, but I guarantee you there's a whole lot of bad muddy bottom below York River Channel that the mud is up to your neck. Places called Blackie's Hole, the edge of the stones, it's all down through there. There's a lot of mud bottom south of what's charted here, but I don't even want to go there right now. When management called for a 34% reduction in effort, crab drudge fishery took a hit of 100%. I've asked repeatedly here and at CMAC if anybody could explain to me the math that was used where 34 equals 100. I've never seen the math where 34 equaled 100. It was 100% of the harvesting sector that historically caught 8% of the annual harvest. And, you know, we just heard about, Joe just talked about large discards and some of the other styles of fisheries. Biggest thing that I see that made this discriminatory is the fact that the potters were increased by 55 licenses from 375 to 430 issued after the dredgers were stopped, okay? That's what creates a basis for the factual finding and discrimination. This fishery was handed from one harvesting segment to another. Rob O'Reilly has said it publicly many times. I've documented some of it, where he said he saw the effort go from crab dredging into crab potting, and he sees that effort remain in crab potting. It's been admitted by staff that we saw the effort shift. So when you, if you save crabs, that's one thing, but when you shut down a crab fishery, a style of fishing, under a fishery that's been labeled disaster, and within less than 24 months you put effort back in that fishery, it's bad management. I'm sorry. That's my viewpoint. Potters were increased by 55 licenses from 375 to 430 after the dredgers stopped. Some dredgers were only working several months of the year, and then they'd stop and get ready for spring. Some of them were hull seiners, some of them were pound netters. The dredge fleet rarely worked 5 days a week because of weather. I can document that. I've got logs from years of crabbing. All that was done, and the dredge effort was transferred to the pot fishery, which allowed these permits a longer season with a much larger harvest. There's a lot of talk about the number of pots being fished and the inability to enforce pot limits, not to mention the use of agents. So I sat at my house on Wilson Creek at my pier, and I look at 120 crab pots in my small residential creek. And I watch the crab activity day in, day out of my window, and I'm unable to fish. I may be watching agents fish for all I know, with no investment in the fishery, and they continue to work while we don't. The vessels that were tied up in the crab dredge fishery were not Carolina skiffs. They were some of the largest and generally represented one of the largest investments in harvesting in crabs in the state of Virginia. The vessels usually supported three families per boat, generally. I've looked at the value of the fleet that was tied up at $75,000 per boat. We tied up $4 million worth of hardware, okay? Like I said, this wasn't Carolina skiffs. My boat that I crab dredged with, I paid $125,000 for it. That's just me. So I'm saying if you give that fleet estimated value of $75,000 per boat, there was $4 million worth of hardware tied to the dock. It's been tied up for 7 years now. This is a Class A discrimination against a harvesting sector, which is described under Code of Virginia 28.2-203 under number 4. I guess it's up to the interpretation of that, and maybe we're going to have to go to a different venue to get that interpretation. If we keep doing what we do, we'll surely end up there. Conservation and management measures shall not discriminate among user groups. That's the first sentence in that code. With the reports recently of winter crab kill, I heard about 25 million today, it's nearly neglect not to allow the dredgers to catch some of them in December and January before that happens. What a wasted resource. I know a lot about winter crab kill myself. Jimmy Dean Close's father knew more about it than everybody in the room combined. He could predict it 30 days in advance. He could tell you which snowstorm was going to cause it and where it was going to be. And he was right every time. And there's something about winter crab kill. Once they're dead, we as crab dredgers couldn't sell them either. You can't sell dead crabs. When you pick them up and they're like this, you can't sell him in a basket market in New York. So, you know, when I look at the winter crab kill, there's opportunity for somebody to catch 25 million crabs last December and January that had gone to the wayside. Year-round marketing was disrupted in Virginia. We sent crabs in the wintertime to Fulton Fish Market in New York, Jessup in Maryland, Lawrence in South Philadelphia, to name a few, and a lot of other markets that were active in buying our winter crabs. This affects the money and the market strength paid for early spring for one of the largest runs for the crab potters. You know, since crab dredging stopped, they've gotten the market has dived quicker, and there's been no market because they're entering the market. They're not coming into a market that's been established all winter and is $90 a basket. they're entering a no-market scenario. So the buyers are actually able to cherry-pick and basically just set the price. That's what it boils down to. Crabbing is not like the scallop business. We actually sell scallops. In crabbing, crab buyers don't sell crabs. They call the market and say, what are we paying the boats? If you don't believe me, hang around with some of them. You'll find out it's true. All that market was disrupted, and I think it affects the large economy in the spring for other crabbers. It may have seemed like a good idea in 2008 to shut the crab dredge fishery down, but we all know it hadn't really paid off. The dredgers, the state, or the public interest. I see all these comment letters up here for public support of wanting the crab dredge fishery closed, when 700 and some of them are form letters from conservation organizations. I had 800 comments. I think I'd discount that. If you want me to get a petition signed for opening the crab dredge fishery, give me till August, and I bet I can get 10,000 signatures. Fishery should be reopened now, not wait on abundance triggers. That will never happen. No one else is waiting on an abundance trigger, not an agent, not a peeler potter, not a crab potter. I have crab potted in the past right out of Newport News Boat Harbor. So I understand all of it. I'm certainly not one that wants to discriminate against my other crabbers. No one else is waiting on abundance triggers. Not a person sitting over his pot limit is waiting on an abundance trigger. Not an agent that doesn't even have his own license or an investment in the fishery is waiting on an abundance trigger. I actually believe if the control rule, the only control you have of your crab pot fishery today looks like to me your bushel landing. That's it. All the input measures seem like to me none of them can be enforced from what we hear. It was said again today, it's common knowledge, people are setting over the limits. We've suggested bushel tagging through the panel. We tag lobster pots. The tags cost 14 cents a piece. To tag an 800-pot rig with a 10% overage cost $112 in the Atlantic Ocean. You can tag crab pots. Tag anything you want to. You can tag stalks of corn. It's simple. You just do it. It's like Nike. You just do it. We were promised a three-year closure in 2008. We went through that three-year silence. It's been four more years now for a total of seven. To me, the list of excuses has been exhausted, and they hold no merit now in 2015. It's 2015 now. There's a pilot that we all worked together to open the fishery. I stood here several years ago, and in front of the commission, we presented a pilot project that everybody had a vested interest in. We all agreed on the concept that that pilot would be an avenue, just like Rob presented, to open this fishery. His staff agreed, VIMS agreed, and we believe we can be backed by EDF and even Chesapeake Bay Foundation if we approach it right. It would be a very small, limited fishery. I believe that if the bushel limits are set according to the control rule that establishes your TAC, total allowable catch. Face it, if you have a bushel limit and you got X amount of days you can fish, it's a quota, isn't it? Do the math. That quota isn't being reached. There's enough excess bushels there to satisfy the dredge fleet. It's already built into crab potting, and it's not being caught. I know y'all haven't set bushel limits, that if people achieved them all year, we'd be over the control rule. So to me, if we want a conservation measure, there it is. Let the crab dredgers catch the uncaught crabs. Let them catch part of the crabs you anticipate that'll be winter crab kill. Let's do the right thing and allow a very small group of interested winter crabbers to go back to work. After all, is anybody getting $70 to $90 a bushel for their crabs right now? Is anybody doing that? So, you know, I've worked on this issue. Y'all have heard from me. I'm sorry I'm the spokesman because I know it's not comfortable. And but it's where I stand on it. And I don't plan on budging an inch. I don't plan on changing my mindset because I know it's correct. And I look at all this like any judge, a federal judge or any other judge would look at this through sheer factual finding. None of anything I say was made up by me. None of the numbers I have or theories are mine. It's factual finding. Most of what I know as facts was presented right here, right there on that overhead. I'm the guy that asked CMAQ last Monday night to ask this commission to delay vote. They did. Staff doesn't agree with their own committee. That's unfortunate, isn't it? To me. I'm going to ask the commission now to delay vote. And let's talk about this some more. I'd like to have CMAQ have an entire night based on this. I understand now. I've been to two CMAQ meetings. I've saw 5.5 hours of presentation, about 45 minutes of discussion. CMAQ agenda is wrong. They have so much work when they go in the room, they can't accomplish anything. Go to a CMAQ meeting and watch what happens. It amazed me. There's so much work to do that by the time the presentations are over, they're challenged to have any discussion time to make any meaningful decisions whatsoever. I didn't make it up. I witnessed it. Just telling y'all what the truth is. These are facts. So I want to plead to this commission one more time, and I apologize for that, to delay vote on closing the crab dredge season. Let us go back to CMAQ and see if we can make a new recommendation that fits everybody. We're very close to two triggers right now. I say the winter crab kill should be applied to the lacken that we have in the adult spawning females. Why? Because they could have been part of our fishery. But with no opportunity to fish, those crabs are going to lay in Chesapeake Bay, and they're going to die in the winter. And if you don't know what happens to them and how it happens, I can explain it to you. And I'm sure Rom knows. But that's really all I've got to say. I'd like the commission to really consider delaying vote on this, send it back to CMAQ. Let us have one night at CMAQ, at least one night in 2015, this year, that we can have a long, healthy 3-hour CMAQ meeting on nothing but the crab dredge issue alone. That's all I ask for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Millis. Question, Mr. Cedar.
Are you asking, at this meeting you're talking about having, if we continue this, are y'all going to come up with a proposal that kind of balances, you know, you talked about the code affecting each fishery equally. So do you see, envision, as a result, that you say we're going to put bushel baskets on this kind of guy and all these different, go through all these different crab fisheries and say, you know, we're going to open the dredge to get so many pounds or something like that, and there's so many bushels for these guys, and like come up with a whole plan for each one of those different aspects of the crab fishery?
No. I'm not saying we're going to come up for a plan for each aspect of the crab fishery. We're going to come up with a plan to open the crab dredge fishery. That's what we need to do. And like I already said, the bushels are available to fund the fishery. They're the uncaught bushels that are allocated to the crab potters right now. And you saw today on that overhead, only the 85 potters, 12% of them ever caught their limit. And it was less as you went down. If those crabs and those bushel limits are within the control rule, and that's the control rule, is how we do the math to come up with our expected catch rate for the year, the allowable catch.
Mr. Millis,
then,
please,
then what's
not,
wrong with
that's
that?
That's not a filibuster question. Mr. Erskine has a question.
Mr. Millis, you indicated in your testimony that some of the effort had shifted from closing the crab dredge fishery, and possibly that effort had gone into the pot fishery.
Yes.
Is that correct? So do you have any reasoning maybe behind why the bushel limits were not met?
I have no idea why any bushel limits weren't met. I just know for a fact that it's been told to us that the effort shifted from the crab dredge fishery into the pot fishery. Why did it shift? Because 55 53 crab dredgers were stopped from working, and 55 crab pot licenses were issued shortly thereafter.
Any other questions from the commission? Thank you, Mr. Mullis.
Thank you, Mr. Bull. Thank you so much.